Welcome back to Quality Time. I hope you enjoyed our last podcast on invasive species. However, today, my co-host Joe and I will be taking an in-depth look at causes, effects, and everything you need to know about indoor air pollution.
That sure is right. We will take a look at some current events, have a chat with our special guest, and introduce our PSA to help you think proactively about indoor air pollution.
Let's get right into some of the effects of indoor air pollution. Take it away, Joe.
Sure will. All right, let's get right into it. Although indoor air pollution has been known as a problem since 1850, large strides to inform and improve our indoor air quality have become quite relevant in the last decade. Scientifically speaking, 70 to 90% of human lives are spent indoors, which becomes concerning when finding that our indoor air quality can be very poor. Improving indoor air quality can help humans become and stay healthier over time. Some of the major pollutants for indoor air pollution include asbestos, radon, tobacco smoke, and volatile organic compounds. These pollutants can severely damage human health and need to be treated immediately. This is why informing those about these pollutants can help save their lives.
Out of the four that we've already mentioned, two of them are the most deadly indoor air pollutants. These two deadly pollutants are tobacco smoke and radon. Tobacco smoke is the most deadly indoor air pollutant and comes from smoking cigarettes, cigars, etc., and is known to have over 7,000 chemicals in it. 70 of these chemicals are known to be carcinogenic, meaning that they cause cancer. Not only does the deadly smoke affect the user, it also affects those around them. This is known as secondhand smoke. It is estimated that secondhand smoke causes around 40,000 deaths per year.
Now that we know what tobacco smoke is, one of the six major indoor air pollutants, let's learn about a current event involving smoking. On April 29th, 2021, the Food and Drug Administration, also known as the FDA, announced the ban of menthol cigarettes, and a statement from the FDA's commissioner, Dr. Janet Woodcock, said, quote, "The move will reduce smoking initiation among young people and boost the chances of smokers kicking the habit."
With this new ban put in place, less people will pick up the habit of smoking and more people will quit. With more people quitting, less tobacco smoke will be emitted indoors, ultimately leading to better air quality indoors, which will also reduce the amount of secondhand smoke, which will lead to healthier living conditions and eventually save more lives. The ban of these cigarettes is important because it also helps to reduce the amount of particulate matter in the air. Not only will it improve indoor air quality, but it will help to improve air quality in general, as tobacco production leads to 5% of all global greenhouse gas emissions.
That's really interesting, Jacob. It's scary to see how such a minuscule product such as cigarettes can affect indoor air quality as well as human health that much.
Now that we've talked about tobacco smoke, let's talk about the second deadliest indoor air pollutant, radon.
Radon is a colorless, odorless, and tasteless gas that is emitted by uranium as it undergoes radioactive decay. Radioactive decay is when an unstable atom loses energy by radiation. Radon is also the second leading cause of lung cancer, only after smoking, and kills 7,000 to 30,000 Americans every year. The way radon is mixed into air in buildings is through cracks in floors, construction joints, cracks in walls, and gaps in service pipes.
Since we know a little bit more about radon, let's talk about a current event involving radon exposure. Similar to tobacco smoke, radon attacks and diminishes the DNA in the lungs. Without this DNA protecting your lungs, the carcinogenic properties of the gas can lead to cancer. In a recent report from Nature.com, it was found that 17.8% of all American households have elevated levels of radon. This is due to a multitude of factors such as greater square footage, more open space, reduced window opening, and poor ventilation. Each of these factors allow radon to accumulate in homes that are in high radon concentration areas.
The EPA recently released an article explaining how to take action with radon. In this article, scientists recommend buying homes with a solid and complete foundation, proper ventilation, and good air pressure. By doing this, people can prevent radon from entering their home, which ultimately improves their indoor air quality.
Very interesting, Joe. I'm glad that people are taking action to help improve indoor air quality. That's the end of our current events section of the show, and we will now be interviewing our special guest, Mrs. Wacholtz.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Quality Time, and we will be heading into our interview section of the show. Today, we will be interviewing Mrs. Wachholz.
Okay, here's the first question for our guest. As a mother of two AP Environmental Science students, what is some prior knowledge that you have about indoor air quality?
Well, I know just a few things. It's been a while since I've studied environmental science, but I can tell you that indoor air quality is very important to human health. As we spend a large majority of our time indoors, it's of dire importance to keep a healthy and safe air quality level. By following some simple procedures such as cleaning the house, the overall cleanliness of the space and the indoor air quality levels will stay in optimal condition. I know that things such as dog hair and hairspray can put a damper on air quality, and it's important to keep these at a low. Along with that, my experience in construction has led me to know that homes must be built with radon-resistant seals and vents to get the radon away from humans. This is also an indoor air pollutant, which can oftentimes cause lung cancer. But overall, the most important thing is to always monitor the air quality in your home or building.
That's really interesting. I'm surprised you know so much. All right, now let's get into the topic of tobacco smoke. Do you think that smoking should be allowed indoors, and why do you feel the way that you do?
That's actually a great question. Now, I have a strong opinion on this because my father used to smoke in the house. I don't think that smoking should be allowed indoors because of the chemicals inside a single cigarette. These chemicals can linger in the air for hours and eventually cause secondhand smoke. The smoke is often inhaled by children and eventually has a detrimental effect on their health and their future. So, to answer your question, I don't think that smoking should be allowed indoors because it decreases the quality of air in the building. Has lots of, tons of chemicals that can cause cancer and eventually can kill you if you keep the habits up.
That's exactly how I feel. Following up on that, how do you think secondhand smoke affects children, and do you think smoking tobacco should be allowed around anyone under 18?
Well, of course I think secondhand smoke affects children. When the smoke lingers in the air, there's a large chance that a child or someone else might walk through it and inhale the toxic chemicals that come from a cigarette. I think this happened to me as my father smoked in the house and caused problems with his health and probably mine. I think that the age should be raised to 21 to smoke tobacco because of how awful it can affect your health and shorten your lifespan. If it was raised to a higher age, fewer people wouldn't actually start smoking and eventually improve air quality and save lives.
That was some great input. Next topic is radon. Do you think that every homeowner should have radon detectors installed? And if they go off, what should you do?
Absolutely, I do. Every homeowner should have radon detectors as they are of vital importance to human health. Radon is the second leading lung cancer causing chemical besides the chemicals in cigarettes. Even a short notice before the radon levels gets too high could save many lives. Not only does it save lives, but it could also improve the indoor air quality as there wouldn't be as many chemicals in the air. If they go off, I would immediately evacuate the building and call the police to have the radon ventilated and out and away from human exposure.
I'm glad you know what to do when a radon detector goes off. Most people don't. Last question. What are some good ways to reduce/prevent indoor air pollution, and is there anything that you do to help improve indoor air quality for you and others around you?
The best ways to reduce or prevent indoor air pollution is just to simply keep buildings clean and safe. By this I mean making sure that there's no dust buildup or hair lying around. This keeps air filters around the building to stay free of the debris and constantly ventilate fresh new air into the building. I'm constantly thinking of ways to improve my indoor air quality for me and my others and for others around me. First, I'm also always brushing my pets so that their hair doesn't fly around the house. I also constantly dust places that are known to build up a lot of debris. This allows the air filter to stay clear of those things and will constantly vent new air into the home. The last thing I do is to make sure the foundation in my basement isn't cracked so that radon can't get into the home. Although these are a few simple things that I can do, they help improve my air quality inside my house and improve my health tremendously.
That's a great response. Well, that's all we have for you today. I'm really glad you could make it, and you really helped contribute to the podcast. Thanks for coming, and have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Thanks for having me.
Well, folks, that's the end of our interview section. I want to give a big shout-out to Ms. Wachholz for joining on our Quality Time podcast. It was great to hear from you. After the break, we will be introducing our PSA to listeners on simple ways to prevent air pollution in your homes.
Thanks for sticking around for our Quality Time podcast. We are nearing the end of our indoor air pollution episode. The last segment of our podcast is the public service announcement, where we will let the public listeners know easy and realistic ways to improve indoor air quality and ways to prevent it from getting bad. Let's get right into it. Take it away, Joe.
Thanks, Jacob. For today's PSA, it's all about ventilation and keeping solid airflow throughout the house. It's been scientifically proven that changing your air filters every 30 days helps maximize energy efficiency, ventilate radon out of the home, and lessen the amount of particulate matter in the air. This is because when the filter is cleaner, the pressure is greater and allows more particulates to get trapped in the filter. If your air filters are not changed, air quality will immediately decrease because of the restricted airflow caused by excessive dust, pet hair, and other debris that gets caught in the filter. This can cause an increase in particulate matter and gases in the air, which can be poor for your human health.
One easy solution to this is to hire professional duct and air filter cleaners to help clean buildings' air vents and prevent buildup of dust. This allows for better ventilation as the ducts will no longer have buildup of dust and debris in them. Not only is this a simple solution to improve indoor air quality, in the long term, it will be beneficial towards the health of the building's occupants. This could also help to resolve the phenomenon known as sick building syndrome.
Well, that's about it, folks. Following this simple solution will help to improve the air quality in your home and will also improve your health in the long run.
This wraps up our indoor air quality episode. I'd like to give a big shout out to Dubstep RS for sponsoring today's episode. They never seem to miss a banger. Another huge thank you to our guest, Mrs. Walkholz, for showing up and taking time to answer some of our questions about indoor air quality. I hope to get you guys in the next episode. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Joe.
And we'll see you on the next episode of Quality Time.